Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith in me. Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, as we gather in this holy place of God to remember our brother, Charles Anthony Francis, we come with very heavy hearts and very mixed feelings, for we are a human family and a family of faith. And our faith tells us that Charles's journey is fulfilled, that he rests in the arms of a loving God, and so we know that part of us should be smiling and rejoicing because the promised gift is his. But unfortunately, our feelings of faith reside in a human being. And as a person, we feel so heavily the loss of this fine young man of God. And so we have tears and their sorrow. And people say, gee, if you have faith, it shouldn't hit you that way. Something's missing in their understanding of faith. You know, if you pick up the scriptures and we hear the story of the death of Lazarus, and they come and they say to Jesus, Master, your friend has died. The Bible says, he sat and wept. And as he cried, the people said, look how the master loved him. He weeps for him. So our weeping this morning is perfectly understandable. It is holy. There are tears of love for one that we will miss so very much. And God is united with us in that weeping and in that understanding. This morning, talking to Stephen, I was saying, oh, I wish it didn't have to rain, because people always say, the angels are weeping because someone has died. And I said, the angels are rejoicing. And so Steve looked at me and said, Father, they're tears of joy. And I thought, how wonderful that we really could and should believe that. It's so difficult because we all saw such potential in Charles. And people keep saying, too young, too young, too young. Are we ever going to be old enough to understand God knows what he's doing? Who are we to say too young? First of all, in receiving the soul of this young man, God has received a precious, precious gift. Why do we all think that God should only get us when we're 95 and broken down? Don't we think that God deserves the best? Well, guess what? He finally got one. When Father Tom and Father David and I met and prayed together earlier in the week, that's what we said. Can you imagine the smile on the face of God that Charles was being presented to him? And it is that faith which allows us to understand that God does know why, and we never will. But one day, you know, when we see him face to face, I said to him the other night, you know, it's one more thing, Lord, I put on my list of things I'm going to present to you if I ever get there. But then I stopped and thought, Charles's name doesn't belong on that list. I know why. God deserved him. And his family, in loving him enough, are able to hand him over. Certainly for his parents. Unless we ourselves were a parent, we could never understand what's going on in their hearts. But I've had the privilege of spending this week with them and watching them and sharing with their family an extraordinary journey of faith. Charles could only be who he was because of who they are. And in being able to meet grandparents and brothers and sisters of Ellen and Steve, and cousins of Brian and Charles, you began to understand where it all came from. He was an extraordinary young man, and God began all that in him. But it was nurtured in parents who understood Charles was never theirs. A loving God gave him as a gift to loving parents. And today they, in love, hand him back. That testimony of fate would mean so much to him. Charles was a man of faith and a man of family. And I think that faith would be first, because God was always first. When the priests were talking about him, we said, you know, the problem is, Charles has given us a real problem here. Because people think we're saying all these wonderful things because he met an untimely death, and we should get up and try to make people feel good, and so we're going to say nice things about this guy. And I said, thanks a lot, Chuck. Because I used to get him going. He was always Charles, as you know. And I would call him Chuck just to goad him and get a smile out of him. And the other night I said, thanks a lot, Chuck, for doing this to us. Because what we're saying is God's honest truth. We have to proclaim to the rooftops. This was a man of extraordinary faith. And that in 18 years he was able to achieve what some of us never will in 85 years. And that's why it's all right that he could go home to God now, because his mission was fulfilled in his understanding, his heart's desire to do the will of God. I once said to him when I first met him, Charles, what do you hope to become in life? And he said, a saint. We have come to believe he is. All of us who walked with him were walking in the path of great holiness. And that's what I weep for, because I still need that holiness around me. But I believe now we will have it in a way we never had it when he walked with us. Because now, seeing the face of God, he is able to bring us closer and closer. This week, some extraordinary things have been going on in and around the family. And we keep saying, Charles is very much at work. He's doing tremendous things to show us everything is okay. He wanted so much to be with God. He was always ready. And that's why God could come and take him at a time that we would think is inappropriate. But I believed Charles was smiling. Yesterday, Brian and I were talking, and he said to me, Charles must be so happy. He's looking at Jesus. You know, as Catholic Christians, we say those things. But do we truly believe them? See, this morning is a great act of faith, because we believe. Charles only said what he believed. You know, he was a man of few words. He would tell you what you needed to hear and not much more. You had to push him to get to what was going on. But something was always going on. And beneath the surface, there was such a depth, such a maturity for his age. He was very contemplative. He was always thinking and always praying. His idea of a good time, besides the scout things, which he loved with all his heart, doing what he did with them. Other than that, his joy was reading about saints. Now I ask you, is that extraordinary? It is. But that's who he was. His hours before the Blessed Sacrament, his serving at church, that meant everything to him. So in 18 years, he was able to fulfill much more than we will ever understand, but we're going to come to understand. I believe some of us in this church are going to witness something extraordinary. Because I think this young man will be presented to the church as a candidate for sainthood. Those of us who heard his confessions know how holy and good he was. And God saw all the things that we didn't even see. All the internal beauty that was there for this God that he loved. Someone said to me yesterday, "Father Philip, it's really kind of sad because the church lost a priest." And I said, "Yeah, but they gained a saint." And even though I tried to honor my priesthood, I can't begin to think of how much greater he will be for Holy Mother Church. This morning when Ellen said she wanted to put the stole, his confirmation stole, on the casket, and I smiled, and she said, "What?" I said, "That's what you do for a priest, you know. On top of his casket, we put a stole to symbolize who he was." And here he is. So we do, of course, feel sad. And to Ellen and Stephen and Bryant and his grandparents and his aunts and uncles and cousins, we do mourn with you the passing of one loved by all of us. But we rejoice with you at what God has given to your family in the life of this young man. I believe that Charles made me a better priest because he took the priesthood so seriously. When you looked into his eyes when he was talking with you, you saw such devotion and respect that it made you want to be better than what you were so you could be worthy of that. And every priest who met him said the same thing. He just made you want to be even better. And that's the message to all his young friends. Of course, it's very sad that Charles is gone on the human level. But I hope you'll never forget what he taught you. All those things that made him a wonderful scout and that make you wonderful scouts. Most of all, the faith, though, the reverence he held for life. If you want to pay him a tribute, follow in his footsteps. Be young men of prayer. Take the church seriously as he did. Come to Mass. Be reverent and respectful as he was. That's what enabled Charles to do all the things he did. The first one to volunteer. The one always willing to help. Because it was the right thing to do. He would say, "Well, why wouldn't I do it?" I remember once on an August afternoon, he rode his bike down 5 miles and rang the doorbell. So I came to the door and said, "Father Philip, this lawn's looking kind of shabby. I thought I would mow it." I said, "Charles, it's 100 degrees. Everyone's hiding behind air conditioners." "Father, the lawn needs to be mowed. I'd like to do it." And of course, there never was a chance to reward him because he wouldn't take it. Give it to the poor. Say a prayer. We just don't meet many people like this. I have worked with thousands of young people over the years. I was a high school teacher. Father David was saying, in all the years of working on retreats, we've met thousands of young people. And many of them are special. But none of them were Charles. He was and is an extraordinary person of God and would want us to remember that. And I think he'd get really upset by too much weeping because he's got it. He's got everything. We were very surprised and touched yesterday because someone rang the doorbell at the house. You have to understand there's like 25 people in this house all going back and forth on the down, around, and through. All in little rooms, having meetings, talking, doing all kinds of things. And suddenly Ellen says, "Everybody, come, come." So we all went into the living room. And we encountered a good Samaritan whose name was Daniel. Daniel happened to be riding down the street at the time of Charles's accident. And he got out of the car not knowing what he would find and found our dear friend Charles so injured. And he bent down and picked him up and held him in his arms so Charles would not be alone. And what he said to us was, stand. At that minute, which could have been so awful, there was such a sense of peace and God that overcame me that I knew that God was there. If that doesn't speak to the heart and what we're supposed to believe, in that embrace, Charles was receiving the embrace of God. And that's what he now has. And so while we're going to miss embracing him ourselves, he's got the heavenly embrace. And with that, he will help us to continue this journey of faith. I think the best thing we can do for him now is to live our lives in holiness as he did. So many of us don't understand that to be holy isn't something strange. It's what every one of us is called to. And in him, we saw what it is to be holy, to be whole, to love family, to love friends, to love scouting, to love church, to be devout to duty. Father David and I very early this morning were talking about Charles, and I said, you know what has amazed me? I keep thinking. You know what he did? He lived religious life. Poverty, chastity, obedience. Money meant nothing. Material things did not matter. Wasn't important to him. Chastity, his love and respect for women and for girls, keeping them the way they were supposed to be before God's eyes. He loved them as a sister in faith, was chaste on his own person, and obedient always, always to mom, dad, the church, scout leaders. If you asked him, you knew it would be done because he obeyed. So we had this young man who was never able to fulfill this human journey, living already a very holy and saintly life. And so for that, this morning, we should raise the roof of this church in praise and glory to a God who chose one of ours to show us something. And I think in the years to come, we are going to figure out more and more why we knew Charles and why we loved him. Because God used him to touch each and every one of our hearts, telling us something about what life really means. Loving God first. And because of that love, being able to love all others. We don't have to pray for Charles. He doesn't need it. We do. So I keep saying, Charles, help us. If his soul is not at peace with the Lord, I think the rest of us better give up and go home. Because we're never going to make it. Never. That's how sure I am he's in the loving embrace of God. And now can for us in that great communion of saints help us to become what we're supposed to be. May we never take for granted the people God brings into our lives. May this help us to love and respect one another, realizing how we walk with God every day, and that this day could be the last day. Never take for granted the people you love. Parents, make sure you tell your children continually how much you love them, even when they don't want to hear it, because it's not cool at 17 to have mom and dad say, you know how much I love you? But they need to hear it. Don't let the day go by that they do not know that. That was one thing. Charles was in a home where love was so freely expressed and given, it never had to be questioned. And that's because of the great faith that resides there. The gift that God gave to Ellen and to Stephen, knowing from all time what they would face. That's why Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry. It's okay. It's going to be okay. So as we weep together today, as it should be, part of our heart must smile and rejoice, because one we love now has the fullness of what we do not have. I said to myself the other night, the reason I'm crying is because I wish I was seeing Jesus. Not that there's anything wrong with this life, but Charles has the blessed fulfillment. The rest of us still have to struggle through it. We should want the best for those we love. Isn't heaven? Oh, right away. Right away. Because he understood it. And see, we have to pray for that understanding. As Christians, we preach all this. Glory, resurrection, death is but passing. Do we believe it? He certainly did. That's why Jesus knew he could knock at his door, because it would be opened. And if we're struggling with that and can't understand it, pray, pray, pray. Ask the Lord. Ask Charles to help you to understand that what has happened, as tragic as it is in a human dimension, is glorious in a spiritual one. To have someone you love in heaven is a gift beyond worth. He could have been with us for 75 years and not have been able to give to us the love, support, and witness of faith that he gives us this day. So we thank you, Charles. We all love you. And we thank you, God, for giving to us this man of faith, that by taking our hands, we pray, he will lead us to you, Lord.